The Talmud tells us that the rabbis instituted a mitzvah of chinuch on young children before the age of bar mitzvah. Min ha-Torah, there is a mitzvah of chinuch also. L'maratimos mez b'neichem. The parents have an obligation to be mechanech their children and to educate them and to teach them that after they'll become bar mitzvah, they'll have to keep all of the laws of the Torah. But biblically, min ha-Torah, the parents are not obligated to see to it that the children keep the mitzvahs before their bar mitzvah. In the Rabbanon, the rabbis instituted a mitzvah of chinuch, that they should see to it that the children keep the mitzvahs even before the age of bar mitzvah. In Tosfos and the other Rishonim, commenting on this Gemara, there is a major dispute, major machlokes, whether the mitzvah of chinuch only applies to mitzvahs asei, or even applies to mitzvahs lois asei. Means if parents have an obligation to see to it that the child davens, that the child recites Kriya Shema, that he shakes a lulav, that he listens to Tzkiyah Shofar, that he is a mitzvah saseh. What about the parents have an obligation to see to it that the young children should not violate Averis? Or can they permit the children to eat chazer and to be Mechal Shabbos and just be Mechanech them? Don't forget, you can eat all the chazer you want now, you can be Mechal Shabbos all you want now, but don't forget that after your bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, you're not allowed to do this anymore. So this is a big dispute in the Rishonim. The accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that we go the Chumra, that the mitzvah of Chinuch applies both to the mitzvahs asei as well as the mitzvahs lois asei, that the parents have the obligation to see to it that that the children should not violate averis even before bar mitzvah. What age is considered higil chinuch? So the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvela Soloveitchik, pointed out that the Gemara in the end of Perek Lulav HaGozel and Masech HaSukkah seems to say that each and every mitzvah has its own age of Higir L'chinuch. When the child is able and understands what it's all about to shake a lulav, and then that child has Higir L'chinuch for the purpose of lulav. When the child understands what it means to bench or to daven, then that's Higir L'chinuch for benching or for davening. When the child is able to put on tefillin properly, and when the child is able to put on tzitzis properly, then the child is considered higil achinuch, and that at that age the parents are obligated to mimchanach the child. So the same over here with respect to kashrus. When the child is of an age that he understands what kashrus is all about, he understands what a mitzvah is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to keep kosher, that would be considered a katan shehigil achinuch, and the parents would be obligated to mimchanach the child, and this mitzvah sloisa say not to eat non-kosher food. Before that age, the child, let's say infants, little babies, are katan shelo higir l'chinuch, so clearly there's no mitzvah of chinuch even in the Rabbanon. But still, the Gemara in Yevamos learns that from Sukkim and Perek Cheresh, the end of Maseches Yevamos, that there is a biblical din, shelo l'hachilo b'yadayim, that not only the parents, no one is permitted to give the child non-kosher food. You're not allowed to feed the little baby non-kosher food. Now, the simple reading of the Gemara seems to imply that this din of shalol achil biyotayim only applies to an isa deraisa. If I'll feed the child something which is macholas asur, is non-kosher food, but it's only prohibited midirabbanon, so the Rashba points out that the simple reading of the Gemara seems to imply that this would be permissible. The Rambam writes otherwise. The Rambam's opinion is that it's prohibited to feed the child osa achil biyotayim, even an infant, was clearly lo higel achinuch, didn't reach the age that he should understand what kashrus is all about. So the Rambam's opinion is that osa l'achil b'yadayim even applies to an isa derabbanan. We're usually machmer about this. There's a big dispute between the Rambam and the Rashba whether shalo l'achil b'yadayim applies even to an isa derabbanan. So the generally accepted view is that we're machmer about that. However, Chacham Avad Yosef points out in his tshuvas that if you're not even dealing with an Issa derabbanan, it's something even lower than that. Namely, it's an Issa only mitam minhog. As, for example, he mentions kitnias. Now, kitnias is only a minhog by Ashkenazim. The Sfardim do not have the minhog not to eat kitnias. Many Sfardim have a minhog, they won't eat rice, but other forms of kitnias they will eat. Different countries have different minhogim. So Chacham Avadya follows the meaning that they eat kidneys. Most of the Sfardim and Eretz Yisrael do eat kidneys. But nonetheless, he's writing this tshuva with respect to Ashkenazim. So he writes in his Sfarim that even though Ashkenazim have a meaning not to eat kidneys, but you wouldn't say that you're not allowed to feed an infant. Hakotn shalo higir lechinuch kidneys. This is not even forbidden with the Rabbanon. This is only also mitam minig, which is a lower level of an isa de Rabbanon. So it would be permissible, it would be mutal achila biadaim, since it's only an isa of kidneys. When the child reaches the age of higila chinuch, and the child understands what's kosher, what's not kosher, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us only to eat kosher, so then we have a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara seems to say explicitly that when a person is higila chinuch, you have to be mechanech the child with respect to mitzvahs men haTorah, to shake the lulav on the first day of Sukkot, with respect to mitzvahs de Rabbanan, to shake the lulav on the rest of the days of Sukkot, and also with respect to minhagim, as for example, to klap hoshainis on Hashana Rabbah, which the Gemara comes to the conclusion is only a minhag. The Gemara seems to say explicitly that there is a chi of chinuch even on minhagim. But here we're not talking about a cotton shehigil achinuch, we're talking about a little baby, an infant, shalohigil achinuch. So the only, and the dinish also lachila biyadayim, and not allowed to feed him. Macholas asuras biyadayim. So even if one follows the Rambam's opinion that prohibition shalol lachila biyadayim even extends to anisa de rabbanon, but Chacham Avadya suggests it does not extend to kidneys, which is only a minhag regarding cholav Yisrael. So there are different practices. Most rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, that what he calls cholava companies, if you live in a country where there's government inspection, government control, so Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that strictly speaking, Mi'ikra Din, it's permissible to drink the cholav stam, as he calls it, the cholava companies. Those who are machmir, who do not drink cholav stam, cholava companies, so there are different positions. So some feel that cholava companies is mamish cholav akum, and it's really an isa de rabbanon. Cholav akum is an isa de rabbanon. And others only are machmir b'toras chumre, not to have cholav akompany. So if one feels, one is from the group who is machmir on cholav akompanies, not as a real isa de rabbanon, but rather only as a midas chasidus, as a chumre, and they're different groups, so then that would even be less than kidney. So the din of shalol achil biyadayim, not to feed a little infant, would not apply to cholav akompanies. Now the Minchas Chinuch raises an interesting issue, that there is a din of tzasal achil biyadayim, little infants, you're not allowed to feed, for sure, in Issa deraisa, you're not allowed to feed them food. So he raises the question, how do we feed little babies on Yom Kippur? That's an Issa deraisa to eat on Yom Kippur. So we should, and this is a din deraisa, shalol achil biyadayim, you're not allowed to feed. So the only heta would be, if there's a real chashash sakana, the only heta to violate an Issa deraisa is when there's either a suffix sakana or vaday sakana. So once you come to the conclusion, you're not allowed to feed little infants on Yom Kippur unless there's a suffix sakana. Usually there's no suffix sakana. The baby is not going to die if he doesn't eat for 10 hours. He'll be screaming his head off. He'll make everybody crazy. But there's no suffix sakana, not to the parents and not to the infant. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests that it's taka not permissible to feed a little infant on Yom Kippur unless the parents feel that there's mamish a suffix sakana. It's interesting that this issue that was raised by the Minchas Chinuch is already quoted by the Rabbi Natam in his Sefer HaYosher, in his commentary on the Gemara, in his Chidushim on the Gemara, and he makes fun of this. He mentions that there was a group of people who were machmir, not to feed the babies on Yom Kippur until they reached the point of Safek Sakana, and the Rabbi Natam says that it's not correct, that this chum is ridiculous, and he quotes a discussion in the Gemara in the end of Yuma, the last parak of Maseches Yuma. Most of Maseches Yuma deals with the Karbonas, the sacrifices that were offered in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippurim. And the last perek in Maseches Yuma discusses the laws that we observe today, the Chamisha Inuyim, Achilushti, etc. So the Gemara says that Rechitza, to bathe on Yom Kippur, is not permissible. So the Gemara, in the days of the Gemara, the widespread practice was that they would bathe babies every single day for health reasons. So the Gemara says one is permitted to bathe the baby even on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, why? But there's no suffix sakana? They don't think that there's a suffix sakana. So the Gemara says, because Hainu Revise, since this is the normal way we raise little babies, we do this for the good health of the child. That they would bathe the baby every single day in warm water. So since this is the normal thing that you do, so the prohibition of Isa Deraisa of Shalol Achila Biyadayim does not apply. Shalol Achila Biyadayim doesn't only apply with respect to feeding food, non-kosher food, to a baby. The pasuk that is, the Gemara learns it out from three psukim in Chumash. One of the three psukim is that if the little baby is a kohen, a male kohen, so no one is permitted to cause the kohen to bring this little infant into an oil ames. That's also considered shalol achil biyadayim, to cause a little infant to violate any aver deraisa. So the Gemara says, really, it should have been prohibited to bathe the little infants on Yom Kippur. That should have been included in shalol achil biyadayim, either because the Gemara is assuming that bathing on Yom Kippur is an Isa deraisa, that's the Rambam's opinion, that the Ola Hamishi Inuima deraisa, or according to the other Balei HaTosfos, that Rechitz is only an Isa derabanan. So apparently the Gemara seems to be assuming that Shalol Achil Biyadayim even applies to an Isa derabanan, like the Rambam against the Rashba. So the Gemara raises the issue. You shouldn't have been permitted to bathe the baby on Yom Kippur. That should have been forbidden because of Shalol Achil Biyadayim. But the Gemara says, since Hayna Revisa, he says, that's the normal way that we take care of children. So the din derais of shalol achil biyadayim doesn't apply over here. So the Rabbein and Tam says the normal way that you take care of the needs of a baby are that you feed the baby every couple of hours. You nurse the baby, you feed the baby. You don't wait till the baby is a suffix sakora in order to give him food. So that's why he says, Rabbein and Tam writes in the Sefer Yosher, not to follow this recommendation of the Hasidim who wanted to be machmer, and this idea that the Minhas Chinuch came up with. He says, no. Since the normal thing is that we feed the baby every couple of hours, so you do the same on Yom Kippur. Now, the original passage in the Gemara was with respect to bathing babies on Yom Kippur. As I mentioned, the practice in the days of the Gemara that they would be medaktic, they would be insistent on bathing the babies every single day. The Shulchan Aruch already writes, Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in the 1500s, and he quotes those who lived before him, that the practice is no longer observed. They didn't bathe the babies every single day. So if you don't bathe the baby every single day with warm water, so you shouldn't do it on Yom Kippur either. The whole hetter to bathe every day, the whole hetter to bathe the baby on Yom Kippur with warm water is only if that's the natural course. Let's say the baby has a very dirty diaper, and if it would have been any other day in the week, the mother would have bathed the baby with warm water. So then on Yom Kippur, that would be the same. That would be Hayne Revise. But to bathe the baby every day is not always our practice. So then the Shulchan Aruch says you wouldn't be allowed to do that. When you have a child who is higia l'chinuch with respect to fasting, on Yom Kippur means he understands what a mitzvah is, he understands what the Bari Olam is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, and he's strong enough to fast. So then the Mishnah says a katan shehigia l'chinuch has to fast on Yom Kippur, unless there's some chashash of sakana. So the Mishnah, the way you put together the Shulchan Aruch, the most stringent opinion seems to say that 2 years before Bar Mitzvah or 2 years before Bas Mitzvah, the girl becomes Bas Mitzvah a year earlier than a boy becomes Bar Mitzvah. So 2 years before, if the child is healthy, they should fast the whole day. And 2 years before, 2 years before, so they should fast half a day. Unless there's a problem, unless the child is not healthy enough, he's not up to it. And before that, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Yerushalmi that the parents have to prevent the child. Children sometimes like to show that they want to fast the whole day, they want to fast a half a day. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and quoting the Yerushalmi, a parent should prevent the children from fasting a whole day unless it's the last 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, and they should prevent the children from fasting even a half a day if it's too early in age, because it may harm the child's health. If one has medications that are taste awful, and no one in his right mind would ever sit and eat this medication. Sometimes you have a medication that the children are screaming, they don't want to take it, they don't want to swallow it, it tastes awful, and normal people also agree that it tastes awful. So min ha-Torah, this non-kosher medication is kosher. The Gemara derives this principle from a pasuk. The pasuk says in Chumash, if you have an avela, what should you do with it? You have meat that wasn't slaughtered properly. Let's say you buy meat in the A&P. So the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat it. So the pasuk tells us in Chumash, you should give it to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, only such non-kosher food is forbidden to be eaten if it's fit for human consumption, if a non-Jew could eat it. But if it's so spoiled that it's nifsal mi'achila, so then the halacha says that it's kosher. So there is a minority opinion that nifsal mi'achila, if the food is not edible, you're allowed to eat it. It only applies if it rotted or it's spoiled on its own. But if I mixed in other ingredients and I made it pogum, I made it nifsal mi'achila because of my mixing in other ingredients, so that's not considered Einaroi lager. That wouldn't be considered Einaroi lachila. The majority opinion is not so. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazanish, Rav Soloveitchik, most of the poskim do not accept that position. Most feel that even if it's nifsal mi'achila because of the fact that I mixed in other ingredients, that's also considered Einaroi lachila sodom. So the Rishonim commenting on the Gemara have an argument: is there a chumra midirabbanon that you're not allowed to eat this non-kosher food which is not roi lachila? The Ra'or is of the opinion in a Sefer Bedek Habayis, which is a commentary on the Sefer by the Rashba that's called Teres Habayis. Both the Rambar and the Ra'or were students of the both the Rashba and the Ra'or were students of the Ramban. So the Ra'or writes in his commentary Bedek Habayis on the Sefer Teres Habayis that in his opinion, non-kosher food that's not roi lachila sodom is permitted even midirabbanon. There isn't even a chumra midirabbanon. The Rosh and Psochim disagrees. The Rosh came much later. The Rosh disagrees with the Ra'or, and the Rosh's opinion is the accepted view in Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of the second Chelek Yerideya that midirabbanon one is forbidden to eat macholas asuras non-kosher food, even though it's nifsim achila. The reason for the chumra of the Rosh is that we say achshavei. If you sit and you eat it, even though normal people would not eat it, so if you're sitting and eating it, we should really say min haTorah batla daita etzal das kol bnei adam. Doesn't count. Doesn't matter that you're eating it. It's still not fit for human consumption. But midirabbanan we say since you sit and you eat it, so achshavei you. As far as you personally are concerned, we declare that this food is not nifsal me'achila. V'haraya, proof is that you're sitting and eating it. So that's why we prohibit one from eating this food, midirabbanan. So most of the poskim, the majority of the poskim are of the opinion that this chumra midirabbanan of the Rosh, of achshavei, only applies if the person sits and eats a whole piece of ham that's rotten and spoiled. But if he just swallows a pill or he swallows a spoonful of some medication for the purpose of restoring his health, and it tastes awful, no normal person in his right mind would eat this stuff if he would be healthy. People only take it as a medicine, so that's not considered achshavei. He doesn't, by his swallowing this food, by the pill, swallowing the pill or swallowing the awful tasting medication, the liquid, he doesn't demonstrate that as far as he's considered it's roi l'achila. No, he demonstrates that he's taking it for the sake of medication. So that's a generally accepted opinion. Regarding waiting 6 hours, so the Pischei Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Rambam, that the Gemara quotes one of the Amoraim that I don't compare to my father. My father was such a holy tzaddik, if he would have meat at 5 o'clock on one day, he would wait to have milchiks for 24 hours, an entire day. And I am not so medaktik like my father. I only wait from one meal to the other. So the Rambam quotes this, that waiting from one meal to the other is kimoshe shos, approximately 6 hours. So the Pischei Tshuva in Yerideya, when this is quoted, that one should wait 6 hours between fleishiks and milchiks, Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Chasam Sofer, what if a person has some slight aches or pains, and by eating, by having milk, this would solve his problem? So the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer that since waiting 6 hours is only a minhog, that's what it seems from the Gemara, this Amora says, I can't compare to my father. My father used to wait 24 hours. Where does that come from, 24 hours? That's clearly only a personal private meaning. So this Amora says, I'm not such a tzaddik like my father. I only wait 6 hours. So it sounds like the waiting 6 hours is also only a minhug. It's not a real din. His meaning was to wait 6 hours. His father's meaning was to wait 24 hours. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer that since waiting 6 hours is only a minhug, in order to be permitted to violate a minhug, one doesn't have to be a cholish emes akona. It's sufficient if he's a bari with a mechush bialma. If he has a bellyache or he has an ulcer problem years ago, people had problem with their ulcers, so they used to drink warm milk, and they thought that that would somehow they felt that that solved the problem. So that's the Chasam Sofer, that one doesn't have to wait 6 hours. If he has a slight ache or a pain, you're permitted, if there's a slight condition, one is permitted to have milchiks within 6 hours. And the Sefer Kaf HaChaim, he quotes this Chasam Sofer, then he adds on, he thinks perhaps that's only in the last 5 hours of the 6 hours. But the first hour, perhaps, is a real din midrabbanan, and the source for that would be the Zohar. And the Talmud never says, but the Zohar is quoted by the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Yerideya, and it's quoted by the Beis Yosef. The Zohar talks about waiting 1 hour between fleishiks and milchiks. It happens to speak about waiting 1 hour between milchiks and fleishiks also. That's a big discussion in Poskim. Are we choshish for that? That you should really wait an hour after you have milchiks before you have fleishiks. So some recommend you should be machmer for that passage in the Zohar, even though there's no source in the Gemara to that effect. But at least in the other direction, to wait 1 hour between fleishiks and milchiks, so the Kaf HaChaim suggests perhaps that's a real din, and one should only be mekel. Perhaps that's a real din midirabbanon. Basa b'cholah ben atara only applies if the two are cooked together. But to eat the milchiks within 1 hour after fleishiks is clearly not a biblical prohibition. But maybe that's an isa d'rabbanon, and for that it wouldn't be sufficient if the person has slight mechesh be'alma, slight aches and pains. For that you would really only be matir if the person would be ochel shein b'sakana. Yeah, what is the source for that? That we would allow one to violate Macholas Asuras the Rabbanon to eat the milchiks within 1 hour if the person would be a Choylo She'im Sakana. So the source for that would be also in Yerideya, in the second Chelik Yerideya, that's a Gemara in Psochim, that one is not permitted to get Hano from Orlo. Orlo are the fruits that grow any tree that's planted, so whatever fruits grow within the first 3 years, and not only osa b'achila, they're osa b'hanoah as well. Very often nothing will grow the first 3 years. Okay, so there's no din of orlo. If the fruits don't grow, so there's no problem. It doesn't mean the first 3 years that the fruits grow on the tree. It means the first 3 years since the tree took root, so the fruits that grow the first 3 years are osa b'achila and osa b'hanoah. So let's say I have olives growing on an olive tree, and I have some fruits that grew the first 3 years, so, and I made olive oil. So one would not be allowed to use that olive oil to smear on the body, because that's a form of getting hanor. So the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim was using olive oil to smear on his child. So the Gemara raised the question, it's also b'hanor, how was he allowed to use it? So the Gemara says, since he used it, shaloi kederach hanor osoi, the whole prohibition is only midirabbanon, and the child had a fever, so that's considered a choylo shein b'sakana. So choylo shein b'sakana is permitted to violate the isa derabbanon of getting hanor, shalok ederach hanor osa. So that's what the Kaf HaChaim says over here as well, that to eat milchiks within 1 hour after fleishiks, he suggests maybe is an isa derabbanon, based on the passage in the Zohar. You shouldn't eat b'shait achoda within 1 hour. And since it's an Issa d'Rabbanon, so we wouldn't reach only an Issa d'Rabbanon, so to be permitted to violate it, one wouldn't have to reach the level of a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana, that's in order to violate a biblical prohibition. But just to violate an Issa d'Rabbanon would be sufficient if the person would be a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana. Sometimes the baby will be considered a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana. Let's say in Hilcha Shabbos, we have certain kulas for a choyle she'en bo sakana. The Gemara says amira lenochri is permitted. You're permitted to call a nanju to drive the baby to the doctor, to the hospital, even though the nanju is going to violate what for us would have been an isa deraisa. To drive an automobile on Shabbos, we assume is an isa deraisa of havora. To drive an automobile on Yontif, Chacham Avadya writes in his Chumash, is probably only an isa derabbanan. Because min haTorah, havara is mutter l'tzarech ochel nefesh, and havara is mutter should include even to strike a match, the Mishnah in Beitza makes a distinction between creating a fire, striking a match, as opposed to throwing fuel into the already existing fire. That on Yontav, we don't permit one to be moiled esh mechodesh, to create a fire, but if there is a fire, you're allowed to throw in more logs to maintain the fire. So the Taz writes in Hilchos Yontif that this prohibition of moiled esh mechodesh, to strike a match on Yontif, is a biblical prohibition, even though the person needs it, he needs this fire in order to cook food, in order to keep warm, which is mamshach on nefesh. And the consensus in the classical poskim is not like the Taz's opinion. It's generally assumed that to be moyle resh mechadosh, to light a new fire, is only forbidden mid the rabbanon. Minatar, it's the same as adding fuel to the already existing fire. So to drive an automobile on Yontav, we assume, would only be an isa de rabbanon. To drive an automobile on Shabbos is havara, and there's no heter echal nefesh. So that would be forbidden minatar. Nonetheless, to ask a nochri to drive a little baby, if the nochri just has a slight ache and pain. So the Shulchan Aruch assumes, based on a passage in the Gemara Masecha Shabbos on Daf Mem Amud Beis and Perikira, that tzorchei hatinoik, the needs of a little baby, are considered always like a cholu shem b'sakana. The definition of a cholu shem b'sakana is given by the Ramo in Hilcha Shabbos. It means either a cholu kol gufay, he doesn't feel well all around, or muta lemishka, the person has to lie down in bed. The Tzad HaShaveh, what they both have in common is that the person has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. He has to lie in bed. Normally he would be walking around and functioning. Now he has to lie in bed, or even if it's not lying in bed. But he's slowed down because he has aches and pains all over his whole body. He can't walk normally. He doesn't have an appetite. He has a splitting headache. He can't even think. If he has a mild headache, that's a bori with a mechesh bialma. That's a healthy person, has slight aches and pains. But if he has a splitting headache and he normally would read a book, a learner, whatever, and the splitting headache is so disturbing that he can't function normally, so that's considered a chayel shem b'sakana. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says based on the Gemara, that tzorchei hatinok, when you have young little babies, the needs of the little babies are usually considered like a chayel shem b'sakana. Take, for example, let's say when it's time to nurse the baby, either to give him a bottle or to nurse him, so the baby's going to scream his head off if he doesn't get the food. Is the baby in sakana? No, he's not in a sakana. He screams as if someone's ready to kill him. He's not, there is no sakana. It is not even, there's no sakana at all. It's just that the baby, he's not a chayla at all. It's just that he's hungry. But that's the reaction of the baby. When the child is hungry, so he starts to scream, so he can't function normally. And even if it's a little older child, if he's hungry, so he's gonna be restless. He's gonna be cranky. He's not gonna function normally. Normally, the child plays with his toys. Or plays with the other children. When the child is hungry, there's no suffix sakana at all. Far from suffix sakana. But this prevents the child, even older than an infant, even older than a little baby, it prevents the child from being able to function normally on his level of functioning. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch assumes that all, let's say, the baby needs some food and he's screaming, so he permitted to ask a nachri to go drive to the store and buy some food. Either it's amir le nachri and anisa deraisa. So the Gemara says that it's muta. For a chel shem b'sakon, amir le nachri is muta. There are a lot of heterim. So here also, if the child is screaming that he wants to have milk, that's what we have to give the child now, milk. That's for his good health. So that's considered a chol shem b'sakon. So that we would be makel even within the first hour. That you don't even have to wait 1 hour in order to chop off the last 5 hours of that. The Chassam Sofer said that even if the person can function normally, but it just has a mechesh bialma, since waiting the extra 5 hours is only a minute, so the mechesh bialma would be enough to be mekel over there. Until what age do we consider the needs of a young child as if he were a chol shem b'sakana? So some of the contemporary poskim quote from the Minchas Yitzchak, that up until the age of 8. This is very questionable. The source of the Minchas Yitzchak is the Yerushalmi that we mentioned earlier with respect to fasting on Yom Kippur, that a parent should prevent the children from fasting younger than the age of 8. Let's say by a girl, from 8 to 10, they should encourage the daughter to fast half a day. From 10 to 12, they should see to it that the daughter fasts the whole day. After she reaches the age of 12, then she's obligated to fast Menat Torah. That's already a bas mitzvah. And before the age of 8, the Yerushalmi says, the parents should discourage the child because it's not smart, it's not a good idea to have the child fast even part of the day because they may get sick. So the Pashta says that that's a different din. That's talking about fasting. But to say that all of the needs of a child before the age of 8 is always considered like a chol shem b'sakana, let's say a child is hungry. So sometimes they're going to be cranky when they're hungry and they won't be able to function normally. Okay? So if that's if the child is cranky, so that child has the status of a chayla, shame, or sakana. He's not a chayla, he's not sick, but the child has a condition, namely hunger, that prevents him from being able to function normally. But if you have a child before the age of 8, then they are functioning normally. It's just that they're hungry. They'd like to have some food. We'd probably not follow that minchas yitzchak. We'd probably not consider the child as a chol shemis sakana.